Well, I've never had a little matchbox car before, but there's one. Who put this up here? Did you do
Ferrari?
This is my Ferrari. It's a Porsche, actually, and I now have a Porsche. So when word gets out that the pastor of Full Life drives a Porsche, you can say he has a Porsche. You know, we know that much. So.
And it's a four-door Porsche, so you can take people with you.
Yeah, that's right. So thank you so much for my new car. I appreciate that. We have a conference over here whether we're going to go into kids' church or not today. I was like one of those if I, you know, that was... I would have been saying, I'm not going. When I was in college, I went to Dallas Baptist College, and I'm not quite like you see me now. I wasn't mean or anything out there, but just had a kind of just reminded me of some of the things. And I remember one particular class on the second floor, second story, and I don't know, it was... The class was just boring that day. And the professor in that class, it was a speech, advanced speech class, and he liked Dr. Pepper, so he would go out and he'd give us a little something to look at for a moment, and he'd go out, and you could hear him going down the hall and go to the machine and get him a Dr. Pepper and come back into class. Well, when he did, I just hopped up and went to the back of the room, opened the window, and let myself out the window. And dropped on the ledge with my feet, caught that one and dropped down and went, took off. and about the third time I did that, he was waiting down there. He stopped at the machine and then ran out and came around the building out there. And I dropped down and he said, "You going somewhere?" So I didn't do that anymore. And we became great friends. And I've tried to find him and never could find him. I guess he's gone now. But his name's Charlie Jones, and a speech professor. So I just did stuff like that constantly, and it's a wonder I got through school, but somehow I did. Anyway, I don't know why I told you that. Those kids reminded me that one of them was kind of balking there, and I thought, that was me. That'd be me. I wouldn't want to go. Wouldn't want to stay in here, but wouldn't want to go in there either. I'd rather be out hunting something. You know, chasing deer or something or another. Today I want to give you this word out of Matthew chapter 7. And where I'm going to break you into, I'll give you a little preceding this event. I'll read this to you, and you can read it. I say read it to you. In the New Living Translation we have this. But Jesus has been teaching some pretty, you know, good stuff, serious stuff, and then he kind of wraps it saying, anyone, and this is in Matthew 7, verse 24, anyone who listens to my teaching and follows it is wise, like a person who builds a house on solid rock. Then the rain comes in torrents, and the floodwaters rise, and the winds beat against that house, it won't collapse. And this is good stuff. If these pages don't come unstuck, I may have to look up there. Because it's built on bedrock. So it won't collapse because it's built on rock or bedrock. But anyone who hears my teaching and doesn't obey it is foolish. Like a person who builds a house on sand. And when the rains and the floods come and the winds beat against that house, it will collapse with a mighty crash. And we look at that and we say, okay, yeah, that's simple. We get that. But there's some stuff that preceded this, and he was... really serious about it, and he was teaching. He's just come off, by the way, he's just come off of the Sermon on the Mount, and now he's teaching his disciples, don't worry about things, and do not judge others, and you'll not be judged. That's the first part of chapter 7. And he said, why do you keep worrying about a speck in your friend's eye when you got a log in your own? He goes through all that and said, quit judging people and finding little nitpicking things in their lives when you've got something so huge, it's a log, and you know, everybody sees your deal, and you're picking on somebody else. And then he said, don't waste what's holy on people who are unholy, and don't throw your pearls to pigs. And I've mentioned that in messages and try to bring some teaching on that, that there's just certain people we don't, you stay away from. And it's like, that's who he was calling pigs. He said, there's some people just like pigs. Nothing you do for them do they appreciate, and just root it under. And you got to stay away from them. You got to realize, you know, and this is not on pigs. We'll get back to that someday in another message. But you need to ask yourself once in a while, who are the pigs in my life? Who just keeps taking everything I give them and rooting it under, and they don't appreciate anything? And so, don't waste what's holy on people unholy. Don't throw your pearls to pigs. They'll trample them. And he says, keep on asking. You'll receive what you ask for. So he's teaching all this stuff. And here's one of the important ones. We don't talk about the golden rule much anymore, but it was real important to him. And so it should be important to us, important to Jesus. He said, do to others whatever you'd like them to do to you. This is the essence of all this talking along the prophets. And then he's talking about who can enter God's kingdom. And I didn't want to focus, God just it's like, no, focus on building on this rock and what happens with the winds and the storms. But I need to give you a little introduction. He said, you can enter God's kingdom only through the narrow gate. And the highway to hell is broad, the gate's wide for the many that choose it. And the gateway to life is very narrow. And the road is difficult, and only a few ever find it. And this is scary stuff. I brought a message on this, I don't know, a year or two ago, on what that really means in the Greek, and that narrow path, and that narrow, small gate, and it's serious. That's serious business. So he's teaching. Then he talks about false prophets, and he's saying they come as harmless sheep. They're really vicious wolves. You can identify them by their fruit. And he's saying, folks, don't judge somebody by what you see on the outside, but watch their fruit. Are they living it? And if they're not bearing fruit, they're false prophets. And it's serious stuff. And then he gets really serious before we jump into this. He said, not everyone who calls out to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Does that ever scare anybody? It does me. And he said, but it gets even more serious. Don't worry, we'll focus on this in a message sometime in the near future. But he said, not everyone who calls to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Only those who actually do the will of my Father in heaven will enter it. On judgment day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, this really gets my attention. On judgment day, he said, there's many people that's going to say, Lord, Lord, we prophesied in your name. It means we were preaching in your name. We cast out demons in your name and perform many miracles in your name. And I'm going to reply, I will reply, I never knew you. Get away from me, you who break God's laws. And I've had people get really, well, my gosh, Tony, do you hear this? They did this. How could you do it in Jesus' name and not be saved? Let me tell you something. People, listen to me. That's why we cannot put our confidence in the flesh. And too many people, Christians, are doing that. You know, that you see these churches and they go to, well, you know, and I've hit on this so many times, but Dr. So-and-so's church or this pretty boy's church or this guy's church. And you know, this is not Tony's church. This is God's church. I'm an under-shepherd. That's what I do here. I'm God's under-shepherd. Jesus is the great shepherd. And so, you know, it's not about the person, even though we're people today, we're just in Christianity, so caught up in personalities and bigness and productions. And he's saying, yes, you can cast, can a lost person, because that's what he's talking about here, can a lost person cast out a demon? When you use Jesus' name, it's not the person, it's Jesus' name and his authority. Yes, they can. Can someone who doesn't know Jesus in Jesus' name put their hand on you and pray for you to be healed, even though they're not a Christian, and you could be healed? You could be, because of the name and the power of Jesus Christ. But we equate it with the person. We say, oh, they have the power. They don't have anything. None of us have anything. It's Christ in me, the hope of glory. And so we have to keep our focus. It's not the person. I pray for anointing, but I know I can't heal anybody. I can't save anybody. But I can be the messenger that brings the word or lays the, you know, puts the hand on someone that Jesus Christ then touches with his power. And then we equate it to a person, and it's not a person. He says, so there's people that's going to cast out demons, and they'll even perform miracles. And I'm going to say, I don't know you. If he doesn't know you, and he says, get away from me, you who break God's laws, that means they're headed down. And then I want to say this to you. As we break into this building on the right foundation, because this is all has to be said to get you into to what this means on the right foundation. There will be people who won't have performed miracles. And they probably won't have cast out very few or if any demons in life. But they lived God's word. And they witnessed. And they did what they could. They just weren't called to any public ministry. You with me? And those people's names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. They did what God told them to do. They honored His word. They didn't use the name of Jesus to get rich or to have a great big church or some ministry on TV. Everybody with me? This is serious business. You don't have to go around performing miracles, but God does expect us to live what He says in this book the best we know how. And you can't live it or have a desire to live it unless you believe it. You follow me? A real true Christian does what they're empowered to do through God's word where they are. You may not ever get the chance to be confronted with a demonic person and have that cast out. That's okay. And it's okay if your name is never on some church deal or whatever, but you are living God's word the best you know how. And that's what this is all about. So that leads us into standing and building on God, the rock. And so here's what he says. Anyone who listens to my teaching and follows it's wise like a person who builds a house on solid rock. And what's he saying? He's saying there are a lot of hearers out there. There are hearers. They listen. That's what's happening in so many places. That's why I become so frustrated at a lot of these big churches with these giant ministries, and I don't see changes in their communities. I don't see changes in their politics around them. I don't see anything different. And you have to ask yourself, we have to, why not? If you have all these thousands of people who know thousands of people, and that just multiplies itself, and who can influence and run for office and get into places, why is it not happening? Are we just hearing the word and we're not living it? And the answer to that is, to me, is quite obviously yes. There are so many people calling themselves Christians and they hear the word of God, but they never do anything with it. And Jesus is saying that's not Christianity. And don't mistake it for Christianity. Going and being entertained, going and having a big program and saying, and I've hit this before, so I don't want to just beat it to death. But you have heard it and I've heard it. And people tell me, oh, Tony, if you had a bigger thing and more bands and all the big production, I wish we had a little more that we could do. Every band that wants to try to get here wants to charge so much money. You know, we have to sell every car we got out here to pay them. And it's just, can't find somebody who wants to really just do it for the Lord. And so anyway, that's beside the point. But the point being, people want to be entertained and they want to come. And you know what the problem is today? So much of Christianity is what's in it for me. Feed me, give me something. Instead of coming to church like we're supposed to and saying, God, what's in it for you today? You have blessed my life this week. I'm still alive. I'm still breathing. Maybe everything didn't go as well as I thought it would, but I'm here, and I'm waiting for you to do miracles. I know you're going to perform miracles. Good things are going to happen. That's what church is about, and we're giving praise and honor to glory to God. We're not coming in and saying, oh, I need to feel good today. It's what about me? It's all, and you notice how those ministries, so many of them anymore, are on the people. Making the people feel good. I'd like to make God feel good. He's the one that made all this stuff, wouldn't you? He deserves it. He deserves the glory and the credit. He's our God. Things don't go well, and I'm just cranky and ornery about it. And then it's like, Tony, okay, this is not going so well right now. But you're here, And you're still out doing your thing, you know? You can walk. You can still get out there and get with it. What are you griping about? And each one of us, when we go through our trials, we have to look at it and say, you know, this could have been worse. And this is going to get a lot better, and I'm going to have a victory through this. Watch this miracle take place. And so he's saying the wise people hear the word of God. They really listen. They study it. And they go try to, at least they try to do it. There's not a one of us in here who can live the word of God perfectly. We know that. I try to. It just takes somebody cutting me off in traffic, and I'm having to get squared away again. And you know, we're all a bundle of contradictions, aren't we? I have people yell at me and do stuff at times. You know, it hasn't happened in a while, the yelling, but I have people say some pretty obnoxious things, and not here, out and about. And it's like, it just, that doesn't bother me. We've talked about that many times. You know, it's like, you just stand there and it just doesn't. But then somebody cuts you off in traffic and how can you take it right in your face? And then somebody, I don't know. I'm a bundle of contradictions. I don't know. We all have our things, don't we? They just bug us. And yet so we fail and we fall short. This is what I'm trying to get the point here is this. We all have our little things that we fall short in, but what are you consistently doing? Are you trying to live God's word? And that's what he's saying. That's building your house on solid rock. And Jesus said, if you hear my word and you do it, you listen to me, and you do your best to follow my word, you practice. In other words, here's the word that churches don't like to use. Pastors don't want to use this word anymore. I don't know why, what's happened. I guess our society just rebels against this word. But here's the word, obedience. And we practice obeying Jesus Christ. That's all he asks. I want you, remember there's an old song, trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Well, they had it right. I trust him. I hear the word and I'm going to try to obey it. And when I fall short, I still obey the word. Listen to me, folks. Listen. When you don't obey God's word, and everybody here knows that experience, right? We've flubbed up, messed up, whatever you want to call it, sinned, fallen short of glory of God. But you obeyed, listen to this, you obeyed God's word anyway. When you fell short, what'd you do? You confessed the falling short, which is obeying God's word to get right with God again. It's not in perfection, it's the striving for it. You see the difference? When I mess up, and you know, I disobeyed, so I didn't keep God's word. But then when I confess it to God, I'm keeping God's word. And that's what he's looking for, consistency. He knows I'm going to fail. That's why Jesus Christ died on that cross and rose again. But when I mess up, I know who to go to with my mess ups and confess my mess ups. And I'm obeying his word and confessing my sins. And asking him to restore my fellowship with him and get right back on it and keep at it. Everybody gets knocked down. Every fighter in the ring gets knocked down. You're going to take a hit. You're going to get a black eye. You're going to get bloodied up in life. And you may mess up royally. And it's not that you messed up. It's what you do when you messed up. You obeyed God's word and saying, God, I messed up. I confess this to you. I failed you. Forgive me. And that's obeying his word. And he said, hey, you're building on solid rock. You're doing what I ask you to do. Let me tell you one other thing about building on solid rock. It's doing God's word. Now listen, this is where a lot of Christians have problems. It's doing God's word, obeying God, even when it doesn't always feel good. And even when it's not popular. There's things that I have to do that doesn't feel good to me at the moment, and so do you. When someone is in my face, or someone's just letting me know that they don't like what I do, that doesn't feel good. My carnal flesh wants to hit back. And I would be lying to you to try to make out, oh, well, I've learned. Oh, don't. Any guy that, I've had pastors saying, oh, I've learned, just stay close to Jesus. It doesn't bother me. It's like, liar. I wouldn't believe any of your messages. Why don't you tell me the truth? You want so bad to hit that guy right in the face? You know you do. That's the truth, right? That's the truth. But the bigger truth is that the truth of Jesus and the constraining power of the Holy Spirit kept you from giving in to your carnal desires. And you trusted Jesus and he overcame. That's building on solid rock. It's not that I didn't want to do it. I did. But Jesus was bigger than I wanted to be, than I am. He's bigger than what I wanted to do. Is everybody with me? I mean, that bird's going to fly over, right? The bird of temptation is going to fly over your head. It's just, don't let him build a nest in your hair. And sometimes people even let him sit there so long he lays eggs. You got to really, you know, get that bird out of there. But the bird of temptation is definitely going to fly over you. And you're going to be tempted to do, am I ever tempted just to grab somebody by the collar and just, and, oh yeah. And then part of my flesh is saying, get them. And another part is saying, I've got them. Vengeance is mine, thus saith the Lord, I will repay. Tony, don't. Don't. They want you to do this. Nobody cares about them in the paper, but you do this, you'll be in the paper. And I don't want you reading about me in the Junction, was it Telegraph or whatever it is? Yeah. London pastor, strike citizen, you know, beats up deacon, First Baptist Church. And we don't want to read that. So building on the solid rock is, what you see, what are you getting at? It doesn't mean that you replace your humanity. It means you let Jesus Christ be bigger than your humanity. One thing I'd like to know from God, and maybe you've that asked this same question, is, Lord, when you saved me, why didn't you just take all that old carnal stuff away and I don't have to deal with it anymore? You ever thought that? Why didn't it all just die right there? Scripture says I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, but the life I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God who loves me and gave himself for me. And sin cycles around. And I was just had a counseling deal this week, and I had to try to get this person to understand sin cycles. Because the question came up, I thought I had this beat. I've gone for months and months. And then here it comes again. It's like, I call it, and I call this sin cycle. Whatever you've gotten and habitually doing in your life, and then Jesus comes in your heart, and oh, you feel so good for a while, and and then you'll find that this thing tries to just cycle back in. Any of you fight that? You confessed your temper, or your desires, or your lustful thoughts, or whatever addictions and things, and you get, boy, geez, it's gone. And then one day, you're not even thinking, and here it is. It's like, this came back. Came back in the shower. Came back driving. Came back at work. And all of a sudden, it's like, I thought I had, God, I'm just desiring that. I can't believe I'm thinking this again. I can. And you have to put it before the Lord again. And it's got to be stomped on again. And then say, well, okay, what's feeding this? Where am I putting, you know, what's adding to this? What ingredients in the recipe are going back in again that I thought I'd taken out? We all have these problems, but we keep on, whether it feels good or not. It doesn't feel good to take a lecture from someone, to take abuse. Sometimes it doesn't feel good to do good. You with me? God will put on your heart, do good for this person, and you know they can't stand you, but he wants you to do it anyway. And it doesn't feel good at the moment. Not at the moment. But later, when you're with the Lord, he begins to tell you, you can sense in his spirit, he's saying, job well done, my good and faithful servant. You went beyond your flesh. You built on solid rock. So we'll move on from there. And we'll get into the foolish. He said there's the foolish people. They're the ones that just keep hearing and hearing and hearing, and they walk away and don't do anything about it. They want to go get a rah-rah rally from Jesus, and they want to pick up the Bible and read only the parts that they like. I had someone tell me not long ago, you know, they said, you know, we were talking about some scripture, and they said, I never read that. And I said, well, it's right here. Oh, I don't read that. I don't like that part. So you think because you don't read it, it goes away? That's what many people who don't believe in God, they don't believe in Jesus, think. If I don't acknowledge God, he goes away. He's not there. walk out on I-10 and just refuse to acknowledge semis. It's the same thing, isn't it? I just stand here and I refuse to acknowledge that semi right there. Blup, blup. We got a whole society of people refusing to acknowledge God. That makes God go away. He's not real. It doesn't apply. If I don't read this book, it doesn't apply to me, right? Just let a highway patrol stop you for speeding out there and tell that guy, I don't read the speed limit signs. They don't apply to me. If I don't read them, officer, they don't apply. What do you think will happen? He'll pat you on the arm and say, that's okay. They don't. If you don't read them, then let me put this ticket book back in my pocket. And you say, well, that's ridiculous. It's just ridiculous to say if I ignore God, then he doesn't exist. If I ignore his word, his laws, they don't exist. They don't apply to me. That's what our whole society as a whole is doing. And he says, that's foolish. And you're building your house on sand. It's superficial Christianity to hear the word of God and just be want a feel-good experience and walk away and not take it out here and try to live it. And boy, there's a lot of people off track with that. That's false religion. That's a lie of the devil. You've got to practice. You know, I can read books, and I read a lot of books, and instruction manuals on this and that and that. But until I actually try to do it, it doesn't mean anything. What if a soldier was brought into basic training and given a manual and said, read this, and then we'll give you a written test on it. If you pass it, you're good to go. Now, you get instruction, and every time an instructor teaches you on a specific skill or skill sets, what do they do with you? You're loaded up on a truck, and you're taken out, and you practice those skills till you get them right. And in Christianity, so many people are reading the manual or hearing the manual a little bit on Sunday morning, wherever they go, and they're not going out in the field and putting that into practice and learning how it works. Those are the very people who will sit down with you and criticize you in your life. They're the ones that have a big log in their eye and criticize you because you have a little speck of dirt. You ever notice that? It's the ones that know the least that tend to judge the most. You say, okay, we got that. Quit harping on it. Okay, I'll quit harping on it. Because here's the crux of the thing. This is the part I don't like about this message. You know, I think we'll just skip it so it doesn't apply to us. Well, you know what I don't like about this message? I understand about the teaching and the whys, and I want to try to live it, so do you. Here's what I don't like. Though the rain comes in torrents and the floodwaters rise and the winds beat against that house. That's what I don't like. You know what he just told us? He said, crud's going to happen to you. People miss that in this text. You can read this text and you're looking at the wise and the foolish. You miss the storms so many times. Do you know what Jesus just said? They're going to come. He just said, and it's so easy to miss deep insights in Scripture. Because he said, anyone listen to my teaching is wise, blah, blah, blah. Though the rain comes in torrents, the floodwaters rise, the wind will speed against the house, it won't collapse. What did he just tell me? Tony, the rain is going to come in torrents. And floodwaters will rise. And there will be winds that will beat against your house. This house. And that's why you need to be built on solid rock, son. Because I just told you, it's going to get rough out there in life. You're going to get rained on by people and by circumstances and by things in this world. And there's going to be floodwaters rise. You're going to feel like you're drowning in sorrow, in grief, in despair, in depression. And the winds are going to come of prejudice and people attacking you, saying things behind your back. And those are the winds. Listen to me. Those are the winds that blow and knock so many people down and blow their house away when they're not built on the solid rock. When people start criticizing and being prejudiced and mocking God and mocking who you are and what you believe as a Christian. See, Jesus knew it was coming, and we missed these deep insights. You have to really watch for this. And he said, that's going to come. The rains and the floods. You know what? They're those traumatic things that happen in your life that you can't figure out. You ever thought about it? You say, what are the rains and floods for me that make me feel like I'm drowning? When someone is taken that I really care about and I can't explain what happened. They're just gone. Why, God? That's the floods coming in. Or they discover something, they got to operate on you and all this kind of stuff. Or your kid is doing weird things. You know, and stuff happens. It's the stuff that happens and it's traumatic, insulting, it's wounding, it hurts, it grieves. Those are floodwaters rising up and I'm drowning in despair. I'm drowning in grief. I'm drowning in pain. And he said, that's going to come. They will come. And then the winds will blow and there'll be people criticizing you. And sometimes it's what really hurts us in life is when it's the people we didn't expect. Anybody had this happen to you? The people you thought would be standing right there with you are criticizing you. Let me ask you something. What good does it ever do? And we've all done this. What good does it do to tell someone they've messed up when they've already messed up? I think they know they messed up. We all do it, don't we? Well, you pulled right out in front of them. Well, you just mopped that floor. You knew you was going to fall down if you stepped in it. Well, duh. I mean, what good is it? But that's our human nature. Why don't we have solutions? Here, let me help you and I'll try this up. It's, we tell people the obvious. It doesn't help. You ever anybody say something to you so obvious? It's like, you fell down. No kidding. Oh, you slipped on that wet floor. You want to say, tell me something I don't know. You know, I mean, you know, could you come over here and help me? And after the fact, anyway, I don't know. I just find that kind of humorous, but at the same time, you just want to say, yeah, I know. It's just when the stuff happens and the people we least expect in life are the circumstances. Just hit us and we didn't know it was coming from that direction. And those are the floods, man. That's the rain coming on a Christian's life. And we feel like we're drowning. And he said, see, if you're building on me, you're doing what I tell you to do. He said, I guarantee you I won't let you fall. Listen to me. God may let the water rise, but he'll never let you drown when you build on him, the solid rock. You know how I know that? I'm still here and so are you. He's brought us through crisis after crisis and storm after storm and flood after flood. And so living proof is right here in this place that God won't ever let it go too far. And I hang on to that. Yeah, the winds will blow and stuff will happen and the floods and the rains, but I'm not going to fall. You know why? I'm not perfect, and I admit I'm not perfect, and I tell you and God and everybody I'm not perfect, but I am saved and I am a child of the living God because I put my faith in Jesus Christ and Jesus alone. And I'm going to keep standing. I may be on my knees. The water may be right there. But I'm not going to drown, and neither are you. So let's close it with this. He says, here's the people that we're going to stand. What does Ephesians say? Put on the full armor of God, you know, the belt of truth and the breastplate of righteousness and the helmet of salvation. Your feet shod with the readiness, the preparation of gospel of peace. You got that helmet of salvation on and in your hand the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And he said, above all, holding up the shield of faith, so you can quench every fiery dart of the enemy. And so you put on that armor and you go and you hear and you do and you'll stand strong. And the ones who endure, The rains and the floods and the winds are those who stand on God's word. And you may flub up, you may sin, you may mess up, but you come right back and you keep confessing, you keep repenting, you keep doing unto others as you would have them do unto you. You're trying to do what he was teaching over here. I'll tell you right now, you're going to remain standing, and you got the full armor of God, and the enemy can come against you and he can attack you and he can criticize you and abuse you and blow and rain and flood, but in the end, you are still standing because you have placed your faith and practice the word of God. You see this? This is good stuff. Two or three of you like that anyway. I appreciate that. The rest of you are still saying, well, I'm not sure.
Good stuff.
Thank you. I'm like a little dog running around begging for a treat. Anyway, everybody clap just to make me feel better, okay? Yeah, thank you very much. Okay. The closing statement is this. Real Christians get rained on. Real Christians experience floods. And real Christians have to face some real winds, sometimes tornadoes in their lives. But they keep listening to God and they keep obeying God. They keep doing the right thing and they keep standing. They win. You know why? The word's already told you, you win. Greater is Jesus in you than he that's in the world. And you read over in Romans 8 and he says, you're more than a conqueror through Christ who loves you. You're going to win. You give God your best and guess what happens? God gives you his best and he brings you through and your house is strong because you're built on the solid rock, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. You stand on him and you put on that armor and you just go out there and do to others you'd have them do to you, and don't worry about anything else. God's got it and he's got you. Amen.